Wild and Unwise, written by Seven Fists and read by Dodie Fickers. This is a crossover between Supernatural and Firefly and is set in the same verse as Weight and Motion. No, Dean said, his voice getting louder. Absolutely fucking not. Are you out of your mind? It's a distinct possibility, Zoe said dryly, dealing cards. James snorted. That's enough, Mel said, glaring. Jane had taken to loitering in the cargo bay since he'd been laid up, and while Mel appreciated that it kept the man mostly out of trouble, it was a mite inconvenient when Mel wanted to have a private conversation with somebody hell-bent on avoiding him. Yeah, are we done here? Dean muttered, shifting his weight and glancing toward the stairs. He looked ready to bolt. No, Mel said, taking care to keep his voice quiet enough that it wouldn't carry. I don't feel much like chasing you all over this boat any longer. You stand right there and we'll have ourselves a little discussion. Christ, Dean said. Okay, fine, here's our discussion. No way in hell am I going outside unless we're sitting on solid ground. You know I don't like it, Mel. Don't make me do this shit. We need three people, Mel said. You, me, and Zoe, you'll do it. Dean grimaced. But why can't... Jane's no good until his arm's healed, Mel said. Simon's useless at anything that don't involve cutting on people. I need River in the cockpit, and Kaylee? Not an option, Dean said. Exactly, Mel said. So there you have it. You got any suggestions? Think maybe we should go pick up a Reaver or two? Get ourselves some UK forced labour? No, Dean said, face pale, looking like he just swallowed something mightily unpleasant to the taste. Mel sighed, pity tugging hard at his chest. I know you don't want to, he said. And truth be told, I reckon Zoe and I could do it ourselves. It ain't an emergency. Dean frowned. So why? Because someday it will be an emergency. And if you don't know your Pyan from a coupling wrench, might be we all get blown out the airlock. Best you learn now. Mel rubbed a hand over his face. Dean was looking at him like Mel had just cheerfully stepped on his puppy. If it were anyone else balking, Mel would have ignored their whining without a second thought. But Dean, well, Mel was soft. Wasn't like that was a secret. I can't, Dean said, shoving his hands in his pockets. You will, Mel said. Tell Zoe to get you suited up. We're going now? Dean asked, and his voice cracked on the last word. Soon as you get suited up, Mel said. I got a panel hanging off my ship. That ain't something to mess around with. But go, Mel said, and started up the stairs toward the engine room. Kaylee and River were sitting on the engine room floor, knitting. Mel stared for a moment, watching River's needles fly. Kaylee's moving slower, but not by much. Since when is my ship a goram craft center? Mel said, using his boot to nudge aside a pile of yarn. Kaylee looked up at him and beamed. Oh, hi, Captain. We're just making some things for the baby. Here, look, she said, setting aside her needles. Look at what River made. She held up a tiny hat and tiny little socks. Mel blinked. Well, that's nice, he said. You got an extra battery for the suits? I already told you, you don't need an extra. I wired them up so the one battery's all you need, Kaylee said. Extra might blow out the circuitry. Don't have to hook it up, Mel said. I was just thinking it might make Dean a little easier, thinking he's got a backup. Aw, you're worried about him. That's so sweet, Kaylee said. Captain's very sensitive about it, Kaylee, River said, but she was grinning too, that little harridan. Guanizi do she, Mel snapped. Goran women always thought that they knew everything about everything. Haley, I'd have you over my knee if you weren't about to pop. Thursday morning, River says, her needles clacking. Huh, Mel said. That soon? Kaylee rolled her eyes. I'm a week late. Well, Mel said. He scratched his chin. So, you got those batteries? Down in the cargo bay in the box by the override panel, Kaylee said. Just don't hook them into the main battery supply. I heard you the first time, Mel said, and then left. He wished Kaylee would just hurry up and have that goram baby. Zoe had gotten Dean mostly into his suit, and he was standing there frowning while she tightened the straps on front. They both looked up when Mel came down the stairs. He's about ready, sir, Zoe said. No, I'm not, Dean said. We're going out in 10 minutes, and if you ain't ready by then, I reckon that's just too bad, Mel said, and crouched to dig around in the boxes piled up underneath the stairs. Things were less orderly lately, with Kaylee mostly out of commission, but Mel found the spare battery soon enough. Zoe, we playing or what? Jane demanded, thumping his cast against the crate they'd been using as a card table. Zoe glanced at Mel, one eyebrow quirked, and he nodded, silent permission. She gave Dean's suit a final tug and stepped back. You'll do fine, she said. Sure, Dean said, mouth twisted. Mel stood up, beckoned Dean over with a tilt of his head. The boy moved slowly, hampered by the suit, but he came nonetheless. Extra batteries, Mel said, holding them up, in case life support fails. Oh, God, is that going to happen? Dean asked, his eyes widening. Mel clenched his jaw. None of the suits on my boat have ever failed, he said. But they could, Dean said. Oh, God. That's what the batteries are for, Mel said. Turn around. The rest of the suits don't have extra batteries, Dean said, turning. That's because the rest of us aren't mincing about like a schoolgirl at her first dance, Mel said. Hold still. He hooked the batteries to the back of Dean's suit, one on each side of the main battery, strapped in but not connected. There. What if they fall off? Dean said. Dean, Mel said, losing patience. You think I mean to let you get killed? There was a silence. Dean's shoulders drew up towards his ears. No, he said finally, sullen. Mel leaned in and pressed his lips to the soft place right behind Dean's ear. He smelled like soap and Kaylee's mango shampoo that she'd begged Simon for until he gave in. You'll be fine, Mel murmured. I better be, Dean said. You will be, Mel said. He pulled away. Don Huo in your helmet. Dean turned around, glaring. I won't, he said. Because I can give the doc to give you a shot if you think you'll need it. I'll be fine, Dean said. Jesus Christ, Mel. You vomit in that suit, I will make you scrub it out with a toothbrush, Mel said. Oh, shut the fuck up, Dean said, but there was no heat in his voice. You hold tight, Mel said. Me and Zoe got a suit up, then we'll get going. Sure, Dean said. Hold tight. Yep. Dean was shaking as they stepped into the airlock, his face pale, his breath coming fast. Helmet, Mel said, holding it out, and Dean accepted it with trembling hands. We're sealed, Zoe said, punching buttons. Breathe, Mel said to Dean. You got plenty of air. Stick close to Zoe and don't do anything she don't tell you to do first. These suits are all programmed in Chinese, so you'll say anything at all, you tell her right away. No acting like you know what it's saying. I know your Chinese ain't that good yet. Okay, Dean said, too scared to argue, and that twisted Mel's stomach right up. Helmet's on, he said, and Dean's hissed shut smoothly. But Mel checked the seal anyway.
Ready,
Zoe said, And Mal said,
"Do it."
And all the air flooded out of the lock. One long hiss, and then they were all weightless, floating there. Mal snagged his toolkit out of the air.
"Let's go,"
he said, and the airlock door opened onto bright space. Millions of distant stars and blue moon hanging there in the sky below them, like a paper lamp. His radio crackled with the sound of Dean sucking in a harsh breath, and he looked over, concerned. But Dean was still mostly upright, and clutching hard at his toolkit, which was good enough for Mal.
"What do you think, Zoe?"
he said.
"Half an hour? Any more than that and Jane will be up to no good,"
Zoe said.
"Reckon that's so,"
Mal said.
"Let's get to it."
One of the heat shield panels had blown just as they broke Atmo, leaving Lou, and the one below it was hanging loose. Some of the bolts warped and melted. It was easy enough to repair, but they couldn't enter Atmo again until it was fixed, and Mal wanted to be plant-side before Kaylee's baby popped, mostly to get the doc to quit fussing so gory much. Zoe and Dean went out first, pulling themselves sideways along the rungs attached to the hull of the ship. Mal followed, carrying a spare shield panel. It was bigger than he was, and unwieldy, but easy enough to handle in null gravity. He pulled himself out and up, following the curve of the hull until he reached the bare place where the blown panel had been. The newly exposed inner hull was scorched black in places. Mal hauled the new heat shield panel into place, cursing at it until it settled neatly, sitting just so in the space that was left for it.
"Oh, Christ,"
he heard Dean say, his voice tinny over the cheap helmet radio.
"You're fine. Hold that in place. Oh, God, I'm gonna die,"
Dean said.
"Fuck, what if I..." "Hold that,"
Zoe said, calm as ever. Mel could see the core from where he was, the sun a blinding pinprick at the centre of it, and further out the haze of a nebula, star clusters, a wheeling galaxy here and there. Growing up on Shadow, the universe had looked so full, the sky thick with stars and the Milky Way wide as a river. Out in the black, though, things were more spread out. The scope of it was more apparent, all the millions of miles from one place to wherever else. It was enough to make a man question his place in life. He unhooked his toolkit from his belt and stuck it to the hull, the magnet sewn into the lining holding it there. Below him, he could see Zoe and Dean working on the loose panel, Zoe doing most of the work, moving confidently, and Dean clinging to a rung, passing tools over. The radio clicked on.
"Here,"
Zoe said.
"Cut off that bolt. Careful with the saw, it's old. So why don't we get a new one?"
Dean said.
"Captain's too stingy,"
Zoe said.
"You realise I can hear you,"
Mal said, screwing in the first of the bolts that would hold the new heat shield in place.
"Fucking eavesdropper,"
Dean said, and Zoe laughed. Mal screwed in the next three bolts along the top edge of the panel, holding onto the ship with his free hand. It was mindless work and easy enough. Just simple fastening. 10 more minutes and he'd be done. And back inside, and they'd be on their way to Three Oaks to hunker down for a week or so, let Kaylee recover after having her baby. To be honest, Mal was looking forward to it. They'd gone months without any sort of vacation, and Mal had every intention of luring Dean into his bunk and not letting him out again for at least 24 hours, or until Jane got in trouble with the law, whichever came first. His radio crackled on then, and Dean was groaning, long and pained, and Zoe cursing a stream of words that Mal hadn't heard her use since the war.
"Zoe?"
Mal said tightly, craning his head around to look, but he couldn't see anything, just two white-suited figures below him, their helmets close together.
"The saw slipped,"
Zoe said, and if Mal didn't know her so well, he wouldn't have heard the worry in her voice.
"He'll need Simon. How bad is it?"
Mal said, panic coiling in his chest.
"Fucking hurts,"
Dean gasped, and that set Mal to ease a bit. But Dean was still conscious and swearing.
Get him inside,
Mel said.
What about the shield panels?
Zoe said, but she was moving towards the airlock, tugging Dean along behind her. One hand hooked in his belt. Mel hesitated, torn, but he had to look out for Kaylee too, and there wasn't much he could do for Dean other than get in the doc's way.
I'll do it,
he said. It would kill him, but once he did Shang Di, he'd get it done. He switched his helmet radio over to the main channel for the ship.
Simon to cargo bay,
he said, and flipped it off again. They'd take care of Dean. Mel needed to get the Goram heat shield panels attached back to his Goram Xenu boat. He put it all out of his mind. Dean was injured, and Mel didn't even know exactly what had happened, but that would have to wait. He took his time screwing down the panel and then pulled himself along to where Zoe and Dean had been working. They'd almost finished. He bolted that one down too and then headed for the airlock, all three toolkits tied to his belt and floating out behind him. He stripped off his suit and left it lying on the floor in a crumpled heap. He'd put it away later. Jane was still sitting in the cargo bay, shuffling his cards. Med bay, he said. Mel forced himself not to run. Dean was sitting on the table in the infirmary, sheet white and still wearing the bottom half of his suit, and his left shirt sleeve was soaked with blood to the elbow. Simon was bent over him, eyebrows drawn together with concentration. He's fine, Zoe said, appearing at Mel's elbow. What happened? Mel said. Sliced off two of his fingers, Zoe said. I patched his suit and got him inside. Chow, Mel breathed and stepped into the room. Dean looked up. You datu dabian? He said, slurring his words together. Drugged, looked like, his pupils blown, and his accent even more atrocious than usual. Who taught you to swear like that? Mel said. River? Captain, this is a delicate procedure, Simon said. If you'll just... I'm shutting up, Mel said, and sat in the chair by the table. Simon was reattaching Dean's fingers with the dermal mender. One of them was back on, but the other was resting on a tray along with some of Simon's tools, and Mel had to look away from it, blanching. He'd seen worse, but something about the circumstances, about it being Dean... Zoe was still standing in the doorway, watching. Mel caught her gaze and she raised her chin at him, acknowledging, and headed up the stairs toward the kitchen. Okay, Simon said. That's the first one. Christ, Dean said, rolling his head against the raised back of the table. Fucking, you gonna do the other? That's the idea, Simon said, and picked up Dean's other finger. It hurts, Dean said, and bit down hard on his lower lip. I know, Simon said. I'm sorry. Dean reached out with his good hand, flailing, and Mel caught it with his own right hand, let Dean squeeze until he felt his knuckles might burst, but he didn't let go. This is my fault, he said softly. No, Dean said. I mean, yeah, you could have let me stay on the fucking spaceship, but you had no way of knowing, Mel. Nonetheless, Mel said. Oh, shut the fuck up, you miserable bastard. You're always looking for some more guilt to carry around, Dean said. Charming as this is to listen to, Simon said, I'd prefer if you'd wait until I'm done sticking your finger back on your hand. Everyone's a critic, Dean said, and then hissed through his teeth. Fuck, Simon, God damn it, that hurts. There, I'm done, Simon said, and put the dermal mender down. He held Dean's hand in both of his, turning it around, peering at the new pink lines right above the knuckles. It'll hold. You'll be sore for a few days, so try not to use this hand too much. Huh, Dean said. So I'm fixed? You're fixed, Simon said. Freaky space medicine, Dean grumbled. I'll give you another shot, Simon said, scrubbing his hands at the sink. It'll put you out for a while, but you need to rest so your body can finish the healing process. Dean squeezed Mel's hand, more gently than he had before. Pain meds sound real good right about now. Simon gave Dean the promised shot and left the infirmary. After he'd gotten Mel to promise to call him if anything started flashing on the monitor. So, Mel said. Jesus Christ, if you try to blame this on yourself, I'm going to kick you right in the butt, Dean said. He closed his eyes and shifted his shoulders against the table, settling in. I won't, Mel said. He touched Dean's forehead, a little uncertain, and then stroked his fingers through Dean's sweat damp hair. You know, I got my ear cut off once. Dean cracked one eye open. Really? A man by the name of Niska. He was a mite irritated with me. Took me and Wash, and then Zoe came to get us. He sent her back with Wash, and with my left ear. Huh, Dean said. He lifted his hand and traced the rim of Mel's ear, tucked his fingers behind it and rubbed over the outer curve. Feels okay to me. Simon put it back on, Mel said. Good as new, just like your fingers. I can't really feel them, Dean said. It just kind of hurts. Give it some time, Mel said. Dean closed his eyes again. So what happens next? Well, Mel said, River's steering us toward Three Oaks. I figure Kaylee can have her baby there, and maybe you and me can look toward having ourselves a little vacation. If you're talking about ass fucking, I'm all for it, Dean said. I was trying not to be crude, Mel said. Your funeral, Dean said and yawned, his jaw cracking. I'm just going to take a little nap now, okay? Okay, Mel said. He leaned down and kissed Dean. It was an awkward angle, but Dean opened his mouth easily, letting Mel in. Sentimental, Dean said when they broke apart. I have my moments, Mel said, and he sat there until he was sure Dean had fallen asleep. The end.